to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, well, hello, welcome to episode 315 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford, who's not yet jetted off to Qatar, but he's about to very shortly.
Yeah, so we're doing this a week in advance.
Yes, we are. Spoiler alert.
Just in case we can't get online from the Middle East.
Yeah, you never know. But I think you're out there for a bit, so we need to.
I'll be out there 2 weeks.
Cool. But we're talking about leadership, partly prompted by all this stuff in the news about the Conservative Party. I'm not sure when they have to have it sorted by. I don't think it'll be done by the time that this goes out. I think it's a 4 or 5 week process.
Yeah, it's the end of the month.
Yeah. But we're not going to talk too much politics, and we're not going to analyse all of the people that are running in that race. But we're going to talk generally about leadership, what it means, good, bad, ugly, that kind of thing. Because I'm not sure we have, for a while at least, talked about leadership. Or if ever. We must have done leadership at some point.
We do. We talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not that we're boring and repetitive.
Of course not. No, no. So liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, just to be repetitive. So I say that about this time every week. Take a look at all the show notes and links, all previous episodes there, and do sign up to the mailing list for free meditation files and alerts for this show. What have you been up to, Sean, aside from getting ready for jetting off?
I'm just as in the last one. It's like my life is just so crazy coming up to going away.
And do you look forward to the kind of?
Needs to be.
I know you've got a lot of work to do out there as well, but is it a bit more manageable, a bit less?
Yeah, it is. It is. My working day is shorter. It can be quite intense, but it is shorter. So I do chill out more when I'm there.
And when you get back to your apartment or wherever you're staying, are you helping people back in the UK, or is it the time difference?
I do sometimes, yeah. I am online. We do some online stuff. The only thing that in this trip is that usually the apartment I go to overlooks the sea, and it's amazing. And they've built the village, which is like the hospital village for all the people that work in the hospital, which is great, but it's kind of in the desert.
Ah.
So the view out of my apartment window is the apartment in the next block.
Ah.
So it's like, there's something like 30, 40 blocks of apartments.
You might get to wave at someone and get to know your neighbours a bit, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. But that's going to be a bit weird, actually, because there's going to be lots of people that I work with on a daily basis in the hospital that are going to be around the village.
Ah, okay.
So it could be.
Will that help build a little community, or?
I hope so. I hope it does.
Mm. Has it got shops nearby and all that?
No. They say they won't all be open until August, so by the time I get there to do shopping, I will have to get a taxi to go and get some shopping.
So is it going to be like Lawrence of Arabia, you just march?
I'll ride in on a camel. Like, just going to do my shopping.
Yeah.
Now, there are members of staff that got cars out there that said to me, if you need any help, you need to get any shopping, say so, and I'll run you down to the supermarket. So it'll be okay.
Take your bike with you, man. Can you cycle in Qatar?
And you have to be very brave cycling. Yeah. They are actually putting cycle paths in, but to cycle on the road, you'd be a lunatic. Mm. Really.
Yeah. I'll give it a go, you never know. Quick mention, yeah, I've had a cool little experience last week. I had a tour of the Leverhulme estate.
All right.
Between Clacton Bridge Hospital, actually, and Thornton Hough, that kind of way. There's a big area of green space, which we're hoping to organise a family bike event in September. So I was taken on a tour by one of the guys in charge of the estates. On all these. You've probably seen these avenues in between, like Thornton Hough, tree-lined avenues, which were built many years ago by Leverhulme in the hope of putting houses there one day. And apparently they've got drains all ready to go and stuff. I don't believe that's going to happen anymore. There's a bit of chit-chat about that. But we're hoping to use it as part of a family bike ride. But it's amazing, actually.
Yeah, I have cycled around there.
These hidden roads and routes of...
There are different paths that you can cycle paths you can use that come up onto those, and then you can come out around the back of Clare House and Clatter Bridge.
Yeah, we actually went to Clare House because there's a little lane, a footpath, which was built in memory of a little lad called Tommy. Tommy's Path, it's called. So from Clare House, you can get onto this footpath, and you can get to Brimstone Hall if you want to.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, the history and the hidden roads of Wirral.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Let's talk about leadership, eh? I'm partly spurred on by the endless chit-chat about the Conservatives and who's going to be our next Prime Minister, which is quite interesting and a bit exhausting as the endless saga continues. But yeah, and also it's kind of got me thinking about leadership, about what leadership is. I'm a bit obsessed with Lord of the Rings at the moment. I'm reading the books to William.
All right.
And I've been watching the movies on repeat with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Aragorn in that movie is just like the, but he's just the greatest man of all time. Mm-hmm. He's just the perfect leader. He kind of seems to lead, you know, in the perfect way. He doesn't tell people what to do. He knows how to get people on side. But when it comes down to it, you know, he doesn't mind chopping a few heads off and that kind of thing.
My name is Aragorn, son of Arathorn.
Yeah, but when you first get to know him, though, he's not Aragorn, he's Strider.
He's Strider, yeah.
He's this kind of hooded guy who's just this vagabond who just walks around, but when you get to know what he's really done, man, and what he's seen, yeah, he's the king.
He's the king.
He's the king of Gondor, man, king of all men in Middle-earth. Yeah. Wow. What a guy. So as much as I would love Aragorn to be Prime Minister and, don't know, king of all men and women around the world, that's not going to happen. But what's a good leader for you, Sean, or... does it depend on the circumstance?
Let me say some things that...
you've got 20 minutes to say lots of things.
The issue for me is this, is that the majority of the work that I've done in organisations, all kinds of organisations, all my life, if managers had managed properly, the leaders had led properly, I would be redundant.
Mm.
And I'm going to make a blanket statement here. The levels of leadership in our society, right, are pretty bad. They are pretty bad. And it's because they're driven by the wrong things. People don't become leaders because vocationally they want to lead and help. People become leaders in the main because they're egotistical and they want the power. And we have this huge rise of psychopathy, which is the lack of insight and empathy, and people that want to have the money and the position and all that kind of stuff. And it's so destructive to our society. The workplace should be a joyful place to go to, and for so many people, it's horrible. And it's something that they have to suffer through to retirement rather than enjoy and embrace as part of their lives. And the reason it's like that is because of our leaders, the people that lead our organisations and the people that manage our organisations, right the way down the cake. It's like, if I find bullying at the bottom, it's because there's bullying at the top.
Right.
Yeah, it rolls down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the biggest problem is, from my point of view, I go to higher managers, done it over loads of years, and because they're a bit psychopathic and they lack insight and empathy, when I try to explain to them the effects of what they're doing, they don't get it.
Right.
Yeah, so we end up in a situation where the majority of organisations, both public and private, have a policy where they manage by fear. And people do what they're told in organisations because they're scared.
Wow, okay.
Yeah? So, I should stop my...
All right, end of podcast. Off you go. So, well, that's a lot to unpick that, really, because we're talking about decades and generations of missteps and all sorts of ins and outs and, you know, family problems and real structural issues with how we do things in this...
Yeah.
In the West, I don't know, man, in the whole blooming world.
Mm. Yeah.
If you look at our politics, which I do more than I should, there is a lack of leadership at that level too, really, isn't it? Partly from what I see of a lack of vision, like for what we all, like when you speak to people around, you know, they might have vote for a different political party. We all want similar things, really, even right around the world. We just want to be able to get on, you know, see our families, hang out, chill.
But when you look when you look at our leaders, and we got it all going on in the press now. Those people that are standing for leadership, I dispute that they are doing that because they have some vocational desire to get it right for people. I believe that the majority of their drive is to do with their own egos and their desire for power and position.
Yep.
And you see that in political parties because nobody works in the long term. Everybody works in the short term through until their next election.
Yes. Yeah.
So we don't have people in our society that lead us on the basis of working on the best interest of society. It's on the best interest of what they want.
Well, you've got 5 years to get stuff done, technically at the moment, haven't you? If you are elected as prime minister, so it is short term.
But so. The thing is that if someone puts something in place now, which has a 50-year lifespan, we may change leaders, but the trouble is we swing from the left to the right. So you've got one bunch of nutters that want to build up capitalism, and another bunch of nutters that want to destroy capitalism and build up socialism. You know, then we swing back to the destroying shit, and it's like, well, stop.
Or we just end up with this watery mess in the middle of, you know, where nothing really happens and nothing gets done because committees crush and just destroy all good ideas, you know, before they can take off.
I keep going on about it. I started printing it on my forehead. If we all look after each other, we're all going to be okay. But people are so self-interested that doesn't happen.
When you're getting to work then with leaders who may... Well, for a start, when a leader or a manager calls you in, are they looking for reinforcement of what they are already doing, or are they generally looking for, like, I need help here, stuff's going wrong?
It depends. Very often someone says, can you come in and sort out my department? You go and you look through the department, then you go back to the manager and say, I'm sorry, but there actually isn't anything wrong with your department. The problem's you. You know, and managers don't want to hear that, for one. There are good managers around. I mean, I'm sounding completely negative. There are good managers, there are good units, and there are some good organisations, but in the main, we're not good at it at all.
Yeah.
I do a lot of management training. I call it mindful managers. Yeah, so I do a lot of that, both public and private. And when people get it, it's really amazing, because they start managing people as people and not as functions.
Yeah.
And one of the problems in places like the NHS now is you're not seen as an individual, you're seen as a function. And so we banded people, so they've got a code letter stamped on their forehead.
Right.
And they're not a person, they're that function.
Or a pay grade or a certain level banding. Yeah. I hear about people in the health talking about what banding they are. Like, oh, I'm banding 6 now.
Weird. But I mean, the other end of that is you have sickness policies that are designed by managers or leaders, and they are there because the manager can't manage, so they need a policy to use rather than actually use their management skills. And a good manager, a mindful manager, manages people individually. A bad manager uses a policy. There are some workers who need a slap, and they need to get into work and get on with it.
A metaphorical slap. Yeah.
And there are some workers who need support, and they need our care.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're a good manager, you know the difference.
Yeah.
We've just taken off.
Yeah, we're off into outer space.
Yeah.
That's been off for a while. And the water, the hissing has stopped as well. You know,
all right. That's quiet, very good. So,
I mean, our leaders that are unwilling to listen, do you just have to wait till they retire?
The problem is that because, and this is a weird thing if you can get it, people employ themselves. When they do an interview thing, they set the interview up, and then they look at the candidates and they identify things in that candidate that they identify in themselves. Therefore, that candidate must be good, so therefore they employ them. Yeah. So people keep replicating the problem.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah? Whereas the issue for me is if in a team two people think the same way, then one of them's redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that cross-fertilisation of ideas, and you need to be brave enough to share that cross-fertilisation rather than say, I am right and you are wrong, you will do what I say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah?
Blimey.
Sorry, am I sounding a bit negative about leadership?
It's a bit overwhelming, actually. I mean, some people might not even think that they are leaders. They might be in the bottom rung at work. But they might be a parent at home, and that is a form of leadership, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that that's true in every situation. There are leaders.
So we are all leaders in some way or shape or form. Even if you're not a parent, there'll be some. You'll have control over someone or something in some way in your life. So I guess we all have hundreds of little things we do every day where we practice leadership, don't we?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're a parent, you've got kids.
Mm-hmm.
So my definitions are things like a good leader does things with people and a bad leader does things to people.
Yeah.
Right? So do you do things with the kids or do you things to the kids?
You know, we try and teach our kids independence at every opportunity we can so that they're free to go, but obviously, you know, it's two little boys and they're proper lazy little freaks, man, and they annoy the hell out of me as much as I love them. So it was when I'm trying to get Jacob Jacob, my youngest, for example, we're trying to get him ready for school next year in terms of like being able to eat his own dinner. He doesn't need us anymore for that, and get himself dressed in the morning, and even take himself to the toilet now, which he's pretty good at, but he needs a little bit of help every now and again. So yeah, pushing him out the door, but at the same time we are encouraging him to do all that stuff, but at the same time I'm conscious that I want to hold on to this stage of his life, which is amazing. Like, and I love, this sounds weird, but hear me out, I love taking Jacob to the toilet to help him on the loo, because we just get to have these mad little chats while he's sitting.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's sitting there doing his business and he's just looking gorgeous, and we get to have these lovely little chats, and a year from now he won't need that anymore. So yeah, part of me is holding on to that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to teach him to be independent as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that.
So it's a bit of a, yeah, with that kind of stuff, it's a bit of a balancing act, because I don't want to let him go. But I guess that you could relate that to a leader of a big business or a country even.
Yeah.
Who's used to having control over certain things and doesn't want to let go and give power to.
Yeah.
In my work life, I'm a freelancer basically, so I do everything. And every now and again, I'll dish out a bit of work to another freelancer if I'm got a bit too much on, or if it's a task that I can't manage, and I find that quite hard because I'm so used to being in control of stuff. So I find that quite hard, giving up that responsibility sometimes.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I need to say in this is that in terms of working with managers and leaders and doing the training, is that there is another side to it. The thing about doing things with people or to people is important, but I quite often get staff who do what's called up-ladder bullying, where they refuse to be led or managed.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really, really important in the training that I do, that the staff have to allow the manager to manage, because that's what they've got to do. Okay. And it's no good every time the manager tries to get you to do something, the people shout out, bullying, discrimination, all that kind of stuff. It's really kind of unfair. So it is that, it comes back to that, we all need to look after each other. Our managers and leaders need to look after us, but we also need to look after our leaders as well.
Yeah, okay.
It needs to be that reciprocal relationship.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because we've said goodbye to Mrs. May as PM, and you know she had made some bad calls, blah blah blah. But I'm also conscious that she had a really rough deal as well. You know,
she did. Yeah.
You know, she took the role, and I was quite happy when she did, because she was. I was hoping she would try and bring both sides of this Brexit debate together.
Yeah.
I mean, she instantly got people's backs up by the whole. No deal's better than a bad deal, yada yada yada, and that probably wasn't the best strategy. But it was a horrendous deal, and it's an impossible puzzle to solve, Brexit, isn't it? So part of me is kind of quite empathetic to the situation she was in.
Yeah.
So is that important?
No, I think that's right. Yeah, and I think that her level of distress, you know, people said, oh yeah, when she got upset when she was doing her goodbye thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But that's real emotion, and someone who's hurting. And I may not have agreed with the things that she did, but I defend her right to do those things. And I appreciate the fact that she did the best that she could in that situation. And I think she was dumped in it.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah.
And there's an article I'm going to link to, which just quickly lists kind of 10 qualities of good leadership, and it's got things like fairness, courage, confidence, compassion, empathy. I guess it's knowing to be a good leader is knowing when to be empathetic and when you need to put your foot down a little bit on certain things.
Well, I always had a joke with the kids, which was, we need to do this, and we're going to do it the easy way or the hard way. And that was always, it became a joke in the end. But it's real, isn't it? If something's got to be done, we got to do it. You know, can we do this smiling, or are we going to make it difficult? What are we going to do? And I think that a manager's role very often is to communicate that in a way that other people don't react to it, which can be quite tough.
I guess on a national level, you know, the type of leader that a country needs depends on the situation it's in. So, like World War II, we needed someone who came in and kicked ass and wasn't, you know, could make quick decisions, really quick decisions, you know, and have the courage and the kind of confidence to know that it was the right thing to do. Because we were up against a leader or a set of leaders on the other side, inverted commas, that were very, you know, had a lot of conviction And you know, you look at a guy like Hitler and his team of little weirdos, like Goebbels and all that.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that they were very effective leaders.
But the thing is, were they managing by fear?
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, they didn't do things with people, they did things to people.
Yeah.
They may have done things with their mates, but as long as their mate didn't become their mate anymore, what happened to them? And we have that wonderful example, I assume it's true, that Kim Jong from Korea threw one of his colleagues into a piranha tank.
Yeah.
I mean, even if someone had done you wrong to the point where you decided you needed to extinguish them, come on.
Mm.
You know, I mean,
sort it out.
Yeah.
Flip back.
Yeah.
I mean, the history, like, because I was reading the book I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, The Boys in the Boat, which is about this American rowing crew that went to Nazi Germany for the Olympics in the 1936, and it talks a lot about the kind of build-up to Hitler, and it's got that historical side, which was interesting to be refreshed on after reading about it at school. But, I mean, yeah, Hitler did rule by fear to a certain minority of the population, but he also had a lot of people on side, and he had, you know, people doing exactly what he wanted. So there are probably lessons to learn there in terms of how to get people on side. I'm really interested in the kind of the artwork he used in terms of the media side. I mean, he had complete control over the media in Germany at the time, which is like really terrifying, to be honest. But at the same time, it's from a design perspective. And the posters, I did a dissertation about this at uni, actually. It's fascinating. You know, about how you can use these things to these ways to, I don't know, get your way. So, but I just guess you've got to be wary of what people are trying to do to you. And
it's where does communication end and that whole kind of propaganda and manipulation thing begin?
It's crazy, isn't it? So have you got a resource of the week for us, Sean? Or anything else you want to say?
I've just got a site here that shows you six different styles of leadership, which are all ones that I'd go for.
Yeah.
You know, it's a useful article to look at.
And I was going to link to a TED Talk, but then I found that there are loads, and in fact there's a page that they've set up dedicated just to leadership, and it's got like 12 TED Talks you can go. It's got loads of blogs and audio stories as well. So check that out, because there's loads of stuff there.
Yeah.
For all sorts of circumstances. Because we are all leaders, aren't we?
We are.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Hang loose and be cool.
Have a good flight.
Will do.
Enjoy your time. I'll chat to you.
Yeah. We'll do one
out there, right?
Yeah.
And take care, everyone.
Yeah, you take care.
See you. Bye.